Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm Cinnamon Schultz, and I'll be your host today for another episode of the finest radio drama performed by your favorite Kansas City actors. This week, we have episode 6 of our original series, Kansas City 1924, written by local playwright Forrest Attaway. Our sponsor for Kansas City 1924 is Tom's Town Distilling Company, downtown Kansas City's first legal distillery since Prohibition, bringing back the roaring 20s in every bottle. When the king of Kansas City was boss, Tom Pendergast, he ruled over a city of gamblers, speakeasies, and rule breakers. The Paris of the Plains never missed a drop of gin, bourbon, or vodka, and they still don't. Tom's Town's spirits don't just break the rules, they change the game. You can find their vodka, gin, and bourbon at your local liquor store. Tom's Town, the people are thirsty. And I hope you people are thirsty for another taste of Kansas City 1924. Here's the 6th episode. It's called A Measured Response.
After a night of blood and mud and a morning of threats and fear, the late afternoon lands uneasy on the populace of Kansas City. The Livestock Exchange bivouac speaks volumes of their intentions. While the Giovanni soldiers look to track down the truck responsible for the brutal assault of Rose's brother, George. As the hours pass by and night blankets the city, Fitzy makes his way home after spending a few days with the heavy-hitting Monarchs. His house is unexplainably lit as he approaches.
Take me out to the bar. Buy me some peanuts and crackers. Somebody here?
In the kitchen.
Now, to what do I owe this unsolicited visit so late in the day?
I wanted to be here when you got home, brother.
What's wrong?
It's George.
No.
No, he's going to be fine. He's alive, but he took an awful beating.
I want to see him. George!
He's not here, brother. I got him at my house. Evie's looking after him.
Where's Rose?
She's safe. She sent word she's with some friends, but she's safe.
What friends?
She's down at that club they sing at. Now, look, brother, I need you to take a breath here.
At the Royale, she needs to be home.
I know.
What the hell happened, Ellis?
They got rolled up on the way to work by a gang of white boys. Pretty sure it's Klan-related, but not certain.
Well, why isn't Rose with you?
Those Italians got her covered up in guns and men. She's safe, brother. They found George in the street last night and took him to the hospital. The doctors released him to me this afternoon.
I want to see him.
Due time, brother, due time.
How bad is he?
He comes and goes. He was able to get his hands between the rope and his neck.
Oh, Jesus. They dragged him?
About 4 blocks before they let go of the rope. Most of his fingers broke and he's...
And what, Ellis?
Well, his words ain't coming yet. Now, the doctor said it was just a matter of time before he can speak. But his throat is fractured.
Well, I want him home.
Now, Evie has time to take care of him. With you traveling all the time, he might as well stay with us until he can manage on his own.
Where are the witnesses? Somebody saw something.
Well, if they did, they ain't saying anything.
This goddamn city.
Here's what I think you should do.
What's that?
Grab some bedding and come stay with us for a few days. You can stay in the living room.
No, I'm going to need to be here for Rose when she gets home.
We got room for her, too.
You expecting somebody?
I'm not. Now, the police said they were going to send somebody over tomorrow.
Take a look out that window.
It's a woman.
Damn.
A white woman.
Can I help you?
Is George here?
I'm afraid my son was in an accident. He's not here. My God. You're her, aren't you?
What's going on?
Come in. Come in.
Fitzy, who is this?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Now, Ellis, there's something I haven't told you.
He was meeting me last night. He never showed. I've been wandering around all day. He said we were going to the river to meet some gypsy woman. I didn't know where else to go.
Gypsy woman? Oh, no.
It's going to be fine, girl.
Who is this, brother?
She's carrying George's unborn child. Now, listen, girl. George has been hurt. He's been hurt bad. He can't go anywhere right now. He has to rest.
What do I do? I don't know where this woman is.
I'll take you. I'll take you. I know where she is.
And you better not be talking about going to see who I think you're talking about.
Ellis, hush.
And who is this woman? What's your name, girl?
My name is Mia. Mia Giovanni.
Giovanni?
You're not Joey Giovanni's daughter.
No, sir.
Thank God for that.
I'm his wife.
I'm gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside.
Mia Giovanni. Joey Giovanni's young wife, born here in the States, and horse-traded to Joe for a debt Mia's father could not pay. Some would call it slavery. Joe Giovanni called it business. After all, almost half the women in his employ were a product of money owed or favors granted, but not Alice. Alice might have started her career on her back, but she found her feet at a young age and has been moving uphill ever since.
There's news, Joe.
Good news or bad news?
A bit of both. How do you want your medicine?
I'll suffer the salt water first.
Mr. Kelly's trucks out of Joplin were stopped, looted, and burned outside of town. His team took a beating.
How many trucks?
8 total. It was Bridget.
Where are they now?
When I left them, they were all laughing and drinking at the Rieger.
Laughing?
Seems our new Memphis friends have rubber in their bones. Kelly said he's overstocked in booze and is willing to wave it off. But the trucks are another matter.
Damn this woman.
How do you want to go on this one, Joe?
Loan some trucks to Mr. Kelly. How deep did Bridget cut us with his stunt?
Kelly and his booze were a bonus this month. If this were a boxing match, she'd be slapping it fat.
Nickel up all the drinks and move the rake to 10 points on all tables. I want her to think she hurt us.
Well, where do you want us to pull the trucks from?
I'll find some. Yeah, have I earned our good news?
Holiday and Mike found the riffraff that almost killed our piano player.
Oh, how is little Rose?
She'll come through in a day or two. But we'll need to find someone else for her to sing with.
Yes, do that.
What do I tell the boys?
Are they here?
No. They have those clan boys all tied up over at Anthony's. They sent word asking for instructions.
I've always preferred the Old Testament to the New Testament. When we came to this country, there was a young priest who almost always taught from the New Testament. He loved the word grace, always singing the word grace. I asked him one day, I said, Father, why don't you teach from the Old Testament? He smiled and he says, this is New Orleans. This is a new city, a new country for our people. God has filled my heart and his angels whispered to me the parables of Jesus Christ. A few weeks later, a police chief was murdered. Our people were blamed and tried and found innocent. But it did not stop that city from beating us and killing us for sport for the months that followed. Oh. I was walking home with my uncle when we found that young priest lying in a pool of his own blood.
Oh.
My uncle picked up the priest and carried him to the steps of the church. And as he laid him down, I thought to myself, the Jews are right, because no one fears the New Testament God.
How Old Testament do you want the boys to get?
Beat them, break their hands, and turn them over to the police.
Sure, Joe. Can I get you anything?
Get word to Sally. I want to see him.
Mm-hmm.
At the stroke of midnight, in what would eventually become known as the River Market, justice is doled out. In the basement of Anthony Borelli's restaurant, screams of pain ring out as Sweet Anthony and Big Mike work over the clan boys that drag George through the street. They bloody their ball-peen hammers through the flesh and bone of the culprit's hands like blacksmiths pounding out hot steel. Then, all three men are tied together and bundled like a broken pile of sticks and shoved out the back of a truck unceremoniously in front of the police station. It's Sunday morning. The Grand Dragon, Evans, thumbs his nose at the police ordinance banning them to march by organizing a parade of trucks. However, Captain Sullivan and a small army of Irish Catholic officers block their advance.
Step out of the truck there, lizard man, before we Swiss cheese the lot of you.
Now look here, Captain Sullivan, I don't think we're breaking any laws.
Out of the truck, now!
Easy now, Captain, easy. We're just good Christian men on the way to service.
Well then, out of the truck now before I introduce you to your maker in person there, Mr. Evans.
I'm stepping down now, sir.
Get over here. Hands high. Keep your eyes over the barrels, lads.
We're not gathering on foot, and we're not wearing robes.
Oh, I find that smile you're wearing to be more offensive.
To be happy in the Lord is to be happy in life.
Now smile and wave, lizard man. Let them know we're all friends here.
Get back in the trucks, men. We're just having a conversation.
Turn them around, boys. Now, look at me and listen. This party is over. Send them all home or suffer the ramifications.
We have holdings here to the end of the day, sir.
Oh, you do not. You violated the peace, sir.
We most certainly did not.
Over 10 different accounts of terrorism in and around the city since your arrival.
Where's your proof, Captain?
Cut them loose, boys.
Now, who is this?
These three were caught dragging a citizen of our fair town through the streets. When questioned, they confessed to being part of your ugly little social club.
Not by my order, they didn't.
Your very presence makes you an accomplice, lizard man.
So, if one of your officers breaks ranks and shoots one of my men, I may hold you responsible?
Me and the entire city!
Well, these men are not uniformed officers. They are men of free will. Now, I personally and publicly condemn their actions. However, I do not control them.
I'm not here to discuss your poor leadership skills. You're blocking traffic with this little parade of delinquents. You have to have a permit for such a display, sir, and you do not.
Well, we'll suffer the fine, good captain. You just tell me what it is.
Well, any other day, I'd tax you every tooth in your head, but I'm feeling generous. And if you promise to pack up and leave immediately, I will concede to grace.
Name your price, sir, and we'll be on our way.
We'll take 8 of your trucks.
I'm sorry?
8 trucks. A compensation for damages done since your arrival.
Sir, I wouldn't know how to facilitate such a transaction.
I can help you with that. See, you have 10 fingers. Now, if I were to remove 2 of them, you would have 8. And that's how many trucks we want.
I see.
Do you? Do you see it now? Or shall I provide a visual aid?
You've been very clear, Captain. Just, I'll need to coordinate such a request.
Oh, no need, Lizard Man. Boys, go on and pick out 8 trucks you like. Take Mr. Evans here with you to explain. If they refuse, throw them in the wagons.
You realize that these actions, sir, could be detrimental to the future of your city? Hard-working Americans forced to part with personal property and all? Doesn't bode well for future tourism.
Oh, by all means, please tell everyone you know what happened here today. I wouldn't want folks thinking we tolerate intolerance and all.
Well, we won't be back, sir.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
But we're not leaving either.
I can assure you, Dragon Man, you are.
You don't understand, Sullivan. We were already here. We live here. We live in every city in your nation, and our presence shall be felt for generations to come. This is a new clan, sir. One with political influence and financial means to change policy in this country. Next year, we march at the nation's capital. Until then, we shall be fostering our message through the cities and countryside. You, sir, look at our little contest of wills as a victory today. I promise you it's not. This is nothing more than a struck match in an ongoing bonfire.
Just know, Evans, as wide and high as that bonfire of yours gets, there are things in this world that do not burn. Now, let's go pick out those trucks, shall we?
As the clan makes their way out of town, the city exhales a bit, only to breathe in deep one last time before the cool spring air departs for the summer. It's going to be a war of attrition for the months to come, with the livestock exchange and the mafia-run bordellos and speakeasies going at each other like cutpurses on parade, while the politicians smile and kiss babies. And now, Mia Giovanni makes her way to Madame Boca with Fitzy to seek out the wisdom of the cursed. For as dark as things seem today, tomorrow promises even less light.
You're a day late, black man.
Apologies, Boca. Tragedy has struck my boy.
Where is your George?
He was beaten and dragged, Boca. I warned you of the severity of our circumstance.
Beaten and dragged. Mashallah. Bring this bitch horse to me.
The woman?
Yes, yes, the woman. What's your name, Mulenji Dori?
My name is Mia.
Quiet, man. Don't worry, child. This old man is used to speaking for others.
Boca.
Quiet!
My name is Mia.
And I am Boca. Come closer.
It's good to meet you.
We shall see. Turn around, black man.
Now look here.
Turn, old man, turn. Before I take your eyes from you. Good. Now you, girl. Undress for Boca.
Undress?
Undress. Let's see what we are buying.
Buying? I think, I don't think I should be here. I want to be with George. I should be with George.
Oh, so much passion for a dead man. You want George and his rotting body? Or do you want George who can swim and breathe?
I don't understand.
You want to go back to George? Then take a shovel. You want George to come back to you? Then do as I say.
How far do I undress?
Until God recognizes you.
Boca?
Keep your back turned, man. If your eyes should fall upon her naked body, the child will be cursed.
Cursed?
If he should covet you, little hen, it will poison the egg. Now off with this dress.
She's never been wrong, Mia. Just do as she says.
I am wrong every night I lay down to sleep. I am wrong for helping a gaucho like you, black man. I should place a seasonal tax on this family.
What about these other men in the camp?
They've all seen horses before you. Quiet, old man! She is not for you! Continue, girl. All of it. There we are. I see you, little one. He's very strong for almost 3 moons.
You can tell it's a boy.
Yes, a boy. A tall boy. A smiling boy. Go into this wagon. There are clothes in there. See what fits. No, no, no. Leave the dress.
But
you're a Romani now. No need for such reminders. Go now. You can turn around now, black man.
Now what?
Now what? Now what? Now you pay me.
What are you going to do with her?
We're taking her with us. But she needs to eat, so I need to be paid.
Where? Where are you taking her?
Better for her if no one knows.
My boy will want to know.
Then tell him north. We follow the spring. When the child is ready, she'll be returned in the winter.
Her husband is a dangerous man, Boca.
That is your curse, old man. Mine is feeding another animal. Now pay me.
Here. Take it.
Now go, gaucho. One of ours will follow you home.
What? Why?
To see where you live. The child must be born in your camp, not ours, under your roof, under your name. We'll come to you when it's time.
I would like to say goodbye.
Why?
To comfort her.
Oh, yes. The vanity of words. Her heart and mind cannot be touched by your false compassion. Now go. Spiro, quiet! Leave her alone! Come out here, girl.
Did he leave?
No, he's hiding from you. Put him out of your mind. We have a long journey.
Where are we going?
In a large circle, little hen. Can you ride?
I can. But what about George?
George. He has his own journey ahead of him. For now, we write letters, leave crumbs for the crows and the mice.
But I...
Yes. This is very exciting and painful for you, like your wedding night.
What?
But now, you're married to Boca.
This Sunday was lost in shadow. A cloud-filled day with only glimpses of warmth. The pink and purple sunset, however, paints the end of the day with wild diversity from west to east. The taller buildings stand like soldiers in broken ranks as the long coastal grass moves like an ocean outside the city. Now, hours of darkness welcome the end of the weekend as Vincent Esposito sits straight up in bed with his shoes on. The ancillary good times and music from the first floor are all but muted in his mind as he stares out the flop room window. What is this place, he thinks to himself, just before his door opens. He looks up to see, standing in the doorframe, the silhouette of Rose. It reminds him of their first encounter on the fire escape, except she's not singing. She closes the door behind her as she makes her way to the edge of his bed. She sits. She doesn't look at him. She speaks.
If you could. If you would just hold me.
Vincent wraps his arms around her. They don't look at each other. The same thought echoes in his mind.
What is this place?
I woke up this morning feeling all alone, folks. Blue as I can be, because that man of mine has turned his back on me. What must I do when he says he loves no other gal but me?
What is this place? This is Kansas City, 1924.
So poor Mia is being shuffled off to people she doesn't know for a trip north? Will Joey Giovanni take his wife's disappearance lying down? And Rose, up and about, walks from her convalescent room to the room occupied by Vincent Esposito. Just what is she getting into? Stay tuned next week for another vintage episode, and Kansas City 1924 will return in the new year. Featured in this week's episode were Victor Rader Wexler as the narrator, Walter Coppedge as Fitzy, Granville O'Neill as Ellis, Natalie Licardello as Mia Giovanni, Ellen Kirk as Alice, Mark Robbins as Joey Giovanni, David Fritz as Evans, Mike Ott as Police Captain James Sullivan, Vanessa Severo as Madame Boca, Bree Woods as Rose, and Matt Schwader as Vincent. The episode was directed by Victor Rader Wexler, sound design and engineering by John Robertson, and it was written by Forrest Attaway. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible by support from donors like you and our program sponsors, which include the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, the Muriel McBrien Kaufman Foundation, the Richard J. Stern Foundation for the Arts, the Miller Nichols Charitable Foundation, Theater League, the Missouri Arts Council, Arts KC, and special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. Of course, our exclusive sponsor for Kansas City 1924 is Tom's Town Distillery. Tom's Town spirits don't just break the rules, they change the game. You can find their vodka, gin, and bourbon at your local liquor store. Tom's Town, the people are thirsty. I'm Cinnamon Schultz, and please stay healthy and stay tuned.